Good afternoon and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. This whole suffering process is set up to keep the karma in place. I have to meet certain standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be in order to be acceptable slash lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I would receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional. It assumes that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from our authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Your assignment, record what is true about you, the internalization of which would enable you not to fall for and be tortured by the self-hate conversation. Listen to and add to this recording as you get clearer about what is true about you. Here's our first caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Are you there?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Florida.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This one, I had a kind of an image that came when I was working with it, which was a little bit like, we have like constellations of thoughts and behaviors that we take personally. And it's almost like the universe taking a specific star personally or something.
Especially the one that dies, right?
Exactly.
The one that shoots off on its own. What's wrong with it? Uh-huh.
Right. Well, I just noticed that the more that I keep stepping back, there is a sense of kind of growing space kind of behind all those constellations that I, like very narrow, specific behaviors or thought patterns that I thought, like make up who I am.
Yeah, and you can see them, right? I mean, we, after we pay attention a little bit, we realize that we are actually not aware of unconscious identification.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm caught up in some story about something, and I don't know I'm caught up in some story about something. There's just no awareness of that at all. And now what you're describing is stepping back, disidentifying, stepping back enough that you can see that unconscious story for what it is. So it's clear to you that if you're seeing it, you're not identified with it. You're not caught up in it. Therefore, the logical conclusion is it's actually not you.
Yes, and that's something that I had heard and probably even said, you know, to people. But it was like, you know, that kind of like you're being like, if you're a bell, you're just being struck when that you have that realization.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? That whole process, and to make peace with it, and then to get to the place of enjoying it. That's why I personally am so fond of I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Even what I think I know, I actually don't know. And what you're describing is a proof of that, because I can say it. I say it to other people. I talk about it with myself, and then suddenly there's an insight that just lets me know, well, I actually didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, I sort of did for where I was,
right.
But there's so much more to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that is the thing that I've just noticed. I mean, that word constellation helps me a lot with seeing, okay, this is a preset kind of dead self-repeating pattern that comes up.
Yes.
And so why in the world would I take that personally when it starts to kick
in? Yes. Yes. And I was talking with somebody at the retreat yesterday about when we realize that, and so often that stuff, those constellations are what we would call negative, right? They're they're not pleasant, fun, happy places. And so you realize that's going on, and you really don't want it to. It, it doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve anybody. It's just, it's, but you can't not do it. You can't stop it. So once again, that is tremendous proof that it's not you. It actually doesn't have anything to do with you, right? So why take it personally? Why feel bad about it? Why anything? Our best approach is just simply to ignore it.
Right. And even knowing that, okay, one of the pieces of this constellation is the part where it says, and this is proof that you're wrong, or this is, a, you know, meaning something about you in some way.
Yeah. And it's actually quite the opposite, isn't it? And so ego being that the world of ego being the world of opposites, it's telling you what is exactly the opposite of the truth. Right. The truth is, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's not proof of anything about you. What it's proof of is that that system that wants to live outside of life is what we would, in uncharitable times, call wrong. Right. And it projects that wrongness, that that whole artificial, made up world onto us, and then it says that's who we are, and that's the proof that there's something wrong with us, and none of that is true.
Yes, and there's so much room to just keep stepping back.
It seems kind of infinite, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Which makes it very exciting, right? I mean, I love what I can see right now, right? Well, what else is possible? I want to be here for the what else is possible.
Yeah, and that everything is enlightening kind of approach.
Yeah, when we're here. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, and enjoy North Carolina.
Oh, let me just tell you quickly, okay? I'm sitting out on the porch, on the screen porch, on just about as perfect a day as anybody would ever hope to experience. So, yes. We are enjoying North Carolina. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris. And I believe the Cardinals visited, Cherry. So
the Cardinals are, that's right, the Cardinals are visiting. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Dogwood,
Hello, let's
Cardinals.
Do.
Yep, here
Dogwood,
we go.
Yes. Here's our next caller. You're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Alicia.
Hello, Alicia. Where are you calling from, Alicia?
Oh, Seattle. Seattle.
From Seattle. Okay. Well, you could have been anywhere, you know. So we'd like to know these things.
Yes.
Okay. What do you see?
Well, I feel like I had a similar experience to the last caller in that what I was looking, you know, what I'm looking at for this month is kind of the, you know, the judgment that I, or that is projected out, you know, that I see other people's decisions and I have, you know, there's something to say about that, or there's, you know, and it causes, you know, suffering because of course it comes back to me as well. And I had the experience of somebody, another parent sent me an email telling me they were disagreeing with something that I had done and kind of saying I was kind of a negligent. I had done something they didn't like, or they thought,
wow,
you know, this was something. Yeah, it was quite.
You were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong.
You were wrong, and they needed to let you know.
Yes, I was wrong. They needed
We've
to
all
know.
Been there.
And, yes, and they, and it was, I realized, you know, of course the first responses, oh, you know, I'm angry, I'm going to tell this person, blah, blah, blah. But what I got to see was, because the person didn't really know me and certainly didn't have the whole picture. She had a kind of a little bit of the picture. And I could, and it was really painful for me, but then I could see, well, that's exactly what I'm doing. You know, I'm doing that exact thing where I get a sliver of a picture and then I'm going to project out all of my judgments wherever, and then it hurts me, and possibly it hurts others, but it's not even based on any kind of reality, really. So I saw in it is this sort of impersonal, just like what you were, or what I heard you talking about, this sort of, there's just this, the phrase that came up was the Christian phrase, you know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Like, we all do this thing, and I don't think we
know not what we do.
Yeah. And what you were saying before really struck me, because it isn't personal. I don't mean to do it. I don't,
She didn't mean to do it. She was not coming from conscious compassion and awareness. We can guess. And you certainly weren't plunged into conscious compassionate awareness when you got that message, right?
No.
And so there it is. We just see it going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Each one of us being a victim and then needing to victimize. And then the other person we victimize feels like a victim, and then they need to victimize. And, you know, it's one of those, where will it stop? And, of course, the where it stops is what you and what Chris was talking about before, the bringing that conscious compassionate awareness to it, having that larger perspective that says, wait a minute, this is conditioning, this is ego going around beating people up. I actually don't want to participate in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's really true. And it is that thing of stepping back and seeing, probably nobody does, you know, but we just, if you're not aware.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody from their heart does.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, good to see, huh? Yeah.
Yes,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Alicia. You know, that really reminded me of ending suffering for all beings. In the moment that we are present enough to note that what's coming at us is conditioning and not authenticity, that I don't have to respond from conditioning. I can choose not to engage with it. And in that sense, you know, there's an interconnectedness that's true of all life, right? There's a life interconnectedness, but there's a continuity of conditioning as well. It's sort of like all these atoms bumping against each other. The conditioning in me bumps into the conditioning in you and continues. The energy just the energy just propagates with all of that negativity. But to be present enough to go, wow, I could react and defend myself and perpetuate me, the ego, or I could choose to let that go and not go to the conditioning of what would they think of me, how could they think that of me, I'm not that kind of a person, and all of that, and go, that's all ego, and here I am. I really don't need to perpetuate ego. It's got nothing to do with me in that personal sense. It's simply that it has everything to do with conditioning. That's not really who I am. And that relinquishing, that's not who I am, that ego is not who I am, is so the movement into taking true nature as what we are. It's a beautiful, beautiful place of humility.
Yes. And lest anybody think what we're saying is, it is kind of turn the other cheek. But the thing, it doesn't mean we can't engage. We can. It just means we want to engage to the best of our ability from conscious compassionate awareness and not from ego. So once that's the case, then it's really possible for us to engage with another person and possibly move to a resolution that it feels good to everybody, to make a friend out of the whole thing. Yeah.
Yes. So I think what you were saying and what I was saying about it, right, Cherry, is that when someone says something that's hurtful or unskillful, let's just say, then if we don't make it about me, it gives us very good information about what's going on for them. And we could recognize that conditioning is after them or they're identified. And so
that I'm in a better position to be able to facilitate that person to a place where they're not listening to voices either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, my program is back. Here we go. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Oh, it's Jan in Fremont. Hi.
Hey, Jan.
Well, I feel like I'm in North Carolina with the beautiful descriptions of the dogwoods and the cardinals. Thank you for that. Well, I've been getting in touch with self-hate in a way. I mean, getting to see it for how vicious and awful and devastating it is through this year-long retreat. And it's just been really helpful to see that. I'd sort of been fooled that self-hate wasn't there anymore. So it's been really, really, you know, it sort of sounds strange to say it's been wonderful, but it's been so enlightening. And in doing the exercise yesterday of recording from authentic nature, it was the most amazing experience. It was as though, first of all, I went back and looked at the viciousness. I sort of got really familiar with that. And then went to record from authentic nature. And it was as though I felt like I was channeling. Coming from a place of, it just kept coming. And it was pretty amazing. And I guess what it's in a way, it's not take it personally, no matter where it's coming from, whether it's self-hate, authentic nature, in a sense, not personal. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really important, isn't it?
What was coming? Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, just what was coming, what I was hearing, what was coming out of me, but from wherever it comes, was just what is true, not about just this person. Mm-hmm. But the goodness, the love, the compassion that is. And mm-hmm. so it's true here for this individual, for everybody. Mm-hmm. But that's what I got to see in the experience of recording, that, again, it didn't feel like it was coming from me. And it was good to see it's not personal all the way around.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and that's just such a critical piece of it. We can see the danger in being taken over by ego and wanting to take ownership of authentic nature.
And we've
seen that through the history of humanity, when people have decided that they have the real deal, and they have all the information, and so now they're in a position to use that against other people.
I hadn't taken it that far, but it's true. I mean, it's like everything else in practice, to have the experience, and then, like what you're pointing to, see how that can play out with all of us. I mean, it's already been talked about this morning, it's just so helpful. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the other thing that I want to underline, Jan, is that place that can sound completely bizarre, that I've just been battered by self-hatred, and I'm so grateful. Because what that points to is a level of disidentification that is, with practice, is always there for us. So even though the self-hatred comes at us in all of its cruel hatefulness, we're disidentified enough that it can't actually reach us. And so we're grateful that we don't lose sight of the fact that if we stop paying attention, if we go unconscious, we will once again be vulnerable to that. And
exactly.
And so it's very inspiring to want to stay present enough that it never has access to us in that devastating, debilitating way that it used to have.
Right, because we don't want it happening to anyone.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not to Thank us, you. And we don't want to be a part of that happening to anyone else. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh,
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Go happy.
You too. Bye bye.
Sure. I'm just going to keep bringing people online. Here we go.
Okay.
Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
So I'm seeing that I think what people mentioned that there's this, I've been looking at how there's a lot of overwhelm story around money and finances. And just that when I, like, rather than be in that story or even right now, you know, there's this nervousness story or something to just kind of breathe and, like, everything's okay and there's nothing, you know, to prove, nothing you have to do. And kind of when I just shift into this relaxed place, it's all doable, you know, and just learning how to stay in that relaxed place or, you know, that place of inherent goodness, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's so big, isn't it? Because if getting in a knot solved our problems, you know, we would have all solved our problems long ago, right? But it doesn't. It just makes everything that much worse. And we start making bad decisions and we get cranky and all kinds of things happen to us when we're in that identified with ego place. So to realize that that's the point of ego winding us up, right, is that it's going to then be able to easily control us because we're not paying attention. We're unconscious.
Yes,
and to realize
yes.
that what I really need to do is relax, trust the moment, get here. Ah, okay, this is all doable.
Yeah, and we can receive in the moment, right, the guidance
yes.
and just the sustenance almost of life. Through the
yes.
breath and
yeah, just presence, right? And again, an important point, that sustenance is not available to us if ego is siphoning it off to turn it into stories of tragedy and hysteria, right? So our sustenance goes to ego when we give attention to ego. So if we stay here, we receive that sustenance, that well-being and goodness and gratitude and all of the things that exist in this present moment. And of course, the thing we know is there's nothing we can do about anything anyway.
Mm. Yeah, right? Maybe that's where I get caught.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we do. But and again, that goes two ways, right? So something drops in, you know, don't forget to write that check to, okay, well, that's very helpful because the ego is going to
yeah.
get you not to do that, and you're going to get into a big old bunch of trouble. But in terms of controlling life circumstances, we have no control over life circumstances. Somebody said to me yesterday, you know, somebody could hack into our finances and take everything we've got. And it's true. There would be nothing to be done about that, right? Or the entire economy could collapse, and there would be really nothing that we could do about that. So being here and being present and receiving life's guidance and that sustenance and well-being, whatever happens, at least we're enjoying life.
That's true. I mean, that's the key, right? Because achieving things or doing stuff doesn't necessarily help us enjoy life, right? So
No. So often quite the opposite, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you, Mary Jane. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mary Jane. And we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sweeney. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hey, Loren.
Hi. I put myself in the queue because I just have been loving this whole conversation, and it was just reminding me of wanting to celebrate just showing up because and focusing on what you're going for, because I'm sorry, I'm a little out of breath because I've been taking a beautiful walk during the call. What I was seeing was I could really relate to the early caller when you were talking about you see that piece of karma, just this preset thing that happens over and over again, and then that thing becomes the thing you need to fix. And I remember a lot of self-hate that I had early on in practice about being a judgmental person and all these judgments that I was seeing about other people, and that it was like, oh, thank God I'm doing this Zen thing because I definitely got to fix this. And, and you know, 5 years later, I never actually solved that problem, but just what, as I was sort of celebrating like, well, I don't have as much karma around that now because I don't really have that much time to be judgmental of other people because I'm pulled in another direction of seeing all there is to see about myself. And so nothing, you know, it's just like keep paying attention and all these things I think I need to fix. It's such a lie.
Yes. And that's really interesting because it's not that you're pulled to this sort of navel-gazing, let's figure out what's wrong with Loren. Forget what's wrong with everybody else. We need to focus on what's wrong with her, right? And it's not that at all. What you're doing is seeing through the lies, and that's kind of a full-time job because ego is just nonstop, right? With the stuff that it wants to throw at us in every moment. So just staying present and aware of what's going on, taking a step back, that takes up a lot of a person's time, like all of it.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to think about it, that there is, you know, at any given time, a ton going on for this person, whether it's, you know, a difficulty that I want to be with or something that I'm really enjoying and I want to be with it before ego gets its hands on it. It absolutely just feels like a full-time job, which has sometimes is able to resolve a lot of other kinds of noodling or pieces of karma that I've had a hard time with in the past.
Yeah, and as far as other people are concerned, all we have time and energy for is wishing them well. You know, that may all beings find peace, may all beings end suffering, may all beings be happy. Yes, absolutely. Because I can't worry about what's wrong with them. They're adequate to their lives, and so go happy, right? And it just kind of resolves judgment because there's no interest in it.
Right. Yeah, this is going to be a good one to listen to again because I feel like there's been so much in it, even that whole conversation about those moments where you get to recording from the authentic place and in that you also see that it has nothing to do with you. And just a really beautiful place in practice as well. So I feel like I got taken to a lot of great places today, North Carolina, and that authentic nature.
And authentic nature. Yes, and before I let you go, the other thing that you said was about putting yourself in the queue, and just a little encouragement to everybody to put yourself in the queue. I know it can be hard and scary, and the voices often don't want us to, and all of that sort of thing, but it's so helpful, isn't it? It's so helpful to hear from everybody. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for modeling that.
And I'll say one more thing, and then I'll really let us go because we're at the end here. But I was supposed to work today, and I was telling one colleague yesterday that I really felt like I needed a day, but I had already made this commitment to cover this extra shift today. And another person overheard it and say, wow, I'm over budget this month, and I would love to have an extra shift tomorrow. And so at the last minute, I was relieved of working. And I have just, I've treated this like a bonus day, and that's why I'm listening to the call on a walk instead of hunkered down in my office. And it's just so good to catch why this gets to be a bonus day, and like as opposed to every other day that I wake up. So I'm going to be recording and listening a lot about that as well you know, why I'm not allowed to practice this kind of enjoyment more often. So,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, and how taken care of we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
It's nice. It's wonderful to know the weather is equally beautiful in Connecticut, and people are enjoying
gorgeous.
That too. So,
yeah,
gorgeous.
It is.
All right. Go thank happy.
You. Go happy.
Thanks, Lauren. It's so true, right, Sherry? For living our lives wholeheartedly, there's just no time for any noodling. And,
no.
And whatever comes up in conditioned mind comes up within the context of living our life fully and
yes.
looking at that rather than it living us.
Yeah, taking us. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so our assignment for today, we're conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain karma. Example, what wants to live in gratitude for all life's blessings is sacrificed to maintain the karma of being the good, unselfish person. This is in the realm of the example of our finances. So the assignment, what of you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? RL, what you see.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini. And
thank you, Sherry.
Everybody. Go happy.